following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It's Tuesday, September the 26th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And then, listen, if you're new to the broadcast, somebody invited you in, you stumbled across our channel on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, whatever the case would be, let us know in the comment section below if you can. Let us know where you guys are joining us from and that you're new so that we can acknowledge you as well. Before we get started tonight, hit that like button, please. Hit that share button. This is what's going to push our content out. We know that we get a lot of views when we do these live streams, but the amount of likes that we get are nowhere compared to the amount of people that are on. So it only takes a second, literally, to hit that like button, because this is what pushes our programs out on the algorithms of these platforms. So we really appreciate if you would do that. And don't forget to pick up your free app today. Grab it today at your local app store. Again, depending on what device you have, if it's app or Android, it's available and it's free. Download it today. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, just go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. That's the acronym for End Time Headlines there. Download it, hit yes to push notifications, and then this is going to enable you to, right there at your convenience, to keep up with all of our headlines and all of our podcasts when they're available. So tonight, I'm excited tonight because we're going to kind of slow it down. And we're going to go into teaching mode tonight. And I want to talk about, I want to recap your memory, and then I'll get us into what I'm going to talk about tonight. So there's a lot of chatter right now. We did a report on this on our podcast last week, and we talked about how the United Nations is coming together, and all these global elites, the global leaders, are converging together. They recently just converged together, and they have formed a pact. It is a 7-year pact in which they're trying to institute and try to push global peace in the form of different ways of doing that, such as climate change, such as prosperity, such as ending hunger, such as ending racial divide, and division, and the whole list goes on. We talked about that in detail in one of our previous podcasts. So because you've got all these organizations, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, even the CDC, the World Health Organization, all of these organizations are coming together under one umbrella, and they're pushing this initiative for this 2030 agenda. Again, this 2030 agenda. We talked about this. Again, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast we did last week on this. We talked about that in detail. Now, we know that according to Bible prophecy, according to Revelation chapter 13, there's coming a kingdom. And this is not God's kingdom. This is Revelation 13. This is what we would call the kingdom of the beast. It will be spearheaded by two individuals in the last days, the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will work together. They will create an image of the beast and the mark of the beast. One is going to be the Greek word is iconi, where we get the word icon. It's going to be an image. We're going to talk about that in detail in just a minute. Daniel saw the foreshadow of this. The Lord allowed him to see, witness, and experience a foreshadow of this when he was in Babylon under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar. That was all a foreshadow of what would come later that John saw in 95 AD on the Isle of Patmos, all the way in mid-tribulation, Revelation 13. Then you have this mark of the beast, which is simply, to make it simple, it's a system of buying, selling, and trading that will be institutionalized by the false prophet, but will be forced by both the false prophet and the Antichrist. Now, of course, 98%, I would say probably 98% of all Bible prophecy teachers, preachers, and those who study eschatology when they deliver their message, it is typically centered around this system and this kingdom, again, in Revelation 13. And they overlook a major clue that we need to talk about tonight. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is because I'm going to show you tonight that there has been six empires of Bible prophecy. And in order for us to get to the eighth empire, which that's what John saw in his day in 95 AD, we have to face a formation of a seventh empire Bible prophecy. Let me say that one more time. Again, I told you we're going to slow it down. All right. Before we get to this eighth and final empire, Revelation 13, ruled and controlled by the Antichrist and the false prophet, we have to get to the seventh empire and the formation of it according to Bible prophecy. Now, I know some of you are already be like, eighth empire? What are you talking about? What's the first? What's the second? What's the third? I'm lost, Brother Ricky. Okay, well, we're going to break this down. We're going to show you from the beginning all the way to Revelation 13, how we're going to get to the final empire of Bible prophecy. So let's go. All right, the one thing before we get into this, I want to point out this is a major important thing. This is a principle that we've got to understand, is the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel are nearly parallel to one another. For example, both John the Revelator and Daniel the prophet saw things pertaining to the end times and the things that we talk about consistently on this channel and that you'll hear from other Bible prophecy teachers. For example, let me go through these. I'll try to go slow. But the world's, both Daniel and John saw the world's final kingdom. All right, so both Daniel and John saw the same things that would transpire into the end. The only thing different is there was a few things that Daniel did not see that John was permitted to see. Now, here's what's interesting, is your Bible says that Daniel was told when he saw these series of dreams and visions that God gave him pertaining to the end times, God spoke to him and said, shut up and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. But then you go over to the book of Revelation chapter 1, and the Bible says that when John saw these things in 95 AD, he said, I'm going to show you the things that will shortly come to pass. So again, Daniel shut up. Daniel's told to shut up the book until the time of the end. John is told that the things would shortly come to pass once they begin to go in motion. Now, there is some things that Daniel did not see that John did see. For example, Daniel was not permitted to see the false prophet. Daniel was not permitted to see the mark of the beast. He was not permitted to see the beheading of people. He was not permitted to see the image of the beast. And he was not permitted to see the New Jerusalem. So these are five things. And I'm going to add another one. And that is the eighth and final empire of Bible prophecy. Again, John saw the eighth and final empire. John only saw seven empires of prophecy. So having said that, let's get into this. All right, let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 2. There is a series of dreams and visions. There was dreams given unto Nebuchadnezzar. There was some given unto Daniel. Daniel interprets them both. So watch this. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 2, and where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and where which he saw this great image that had these types of metals, and each one of them represented certain things. So watch this. This is Daniel 2, 31 through 35. I'm going to read this, and then we'll break this down. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Verse 35, then iron The clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together, and they became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Okay, when we begin to break this down, you, in my opinion, and again, this is one of them areas where you're going to have different interpretations, because I've heard different Bible prophecy teachers take these certain metals that were represented here, the gold, the iron, the silver, and they will interpret them with certain nations. And in my opinion, I try to go historically. I try to go with early church fathers. I try to keep it as biblical as I can and historical as I can, because some people stretch this way beyond the realm of proper interpretation. So let me give you what I have with this. I believe the head of gold was the Babylonian Empire. Okay, this was headed up by Nebuchadnezzar. This was the empire that was in control when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream that Daniel's interpreting. Daniel was in Babylon. He was a young man. He was a teenager. And he was one of the captives, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Babylon. So this is the representation. Again, the head of this is the Babylonian Empire. Then would come the chest and arms of silver. This would be the Medes and Persians that would come under Darius and would take over, it would conquer Babylon. Then another empire would rise up under Alexander the Great. This would be the Grecian Empire. This is the belly and thighs of bronze. And then after the death of Alexander the Great, the fall of Greece, then you had the legs of iron, which is the Roman Empire, that would rise up, and eventually the Roman Empire would be split east and west. This is why you have two legs of iron. And then you get down to the feet and the toes. And again, this, in my opinion, we have gone, the Babylonian Empire has come and gone. The Medes and Persians have come and gone. The Grecian Empire has come and gone. The legs of iron, the Roman Empire has come and gone. But now prophetically on the timetable of where we are, we're at the 2 feet and the 10 toes. I'm going to say that again, the 2 feet and the 10 toes. And Daniel says that these feet and toes are a mixture of iron and clay. Now, again, this is left up to interpretation. Some say that they believe that this feet and 10 toes, whoever this empire is, will be partial democracy and part communism. It will be nations from the east, nations from the west. Now, let me throw you another angle out. Some say that whatever this empire will be a army, the soldiers that will be of this empire will be part flesh and part robot or iron or metal. And they get this because of the age of artificial intelligence and transhumanism. Again, only time will tell, but I don't want to take a rabbit trail and get onto transhumanism and artificial intelligence. Go back and listen to some of our other podcasts that we've done. I believe, in my opinion, listen, the Antichrist will be flesh and blood. I have no doubt about that. I don't have time to develop all that. It would take another hour just to do that. But I believe that the image of the beast that John saw, that Daniel did not see in Revelation 13, that will be created by the people of the earth, that will be spearheaded by the false prophet, I have no doubt that the image of the beast will be artificial intelligence, and it will both speak and live and cause as many as would not to worship this image. Now, can I interject something here? Let me say this. Although Daniel did not see prophetically an image of the beast per se in John's day, what John saw in the future in mid-trib of the tribulation, Daniel did in his day experience what I call a prophetic preview of the event when you read in your Bible that Nebuchadnezzar created a great image and he called all of the governors and the leaders of his day to come together and demand the people to bow down and worship this image. Remember, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "No, we ain't bowing down to your image, Jack." And because they refused to do so, your Bible says that they were cast into the fiery furnace. So isn't that cool? So even though Daniel did not see all the way out into the future, mid-trib tribulation, he did experience a prophetic snapshot of it or a preview of it. Now here's another point of interest. All of these empires, Babylon, the Media-Persia Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, all of them have directly impacted Israel in some form or fashion. For example, the Babylon, which by the way, historically, ancient Babylon consisted of Assyria, Lebanon, and Iraq. Let me say that again. Ancient Babylon consisted of Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria. That empire destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and took Jews captive. That's the story. That's where Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into captivity, okay? Then came the Medes and Persians under Darius, and he allowed the Jews to return back to Israel and rebuild the temple, okay? Then you had Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire, and once again the temple was just defiled because you had Antiochus Epiphanes who slaughtered a pig on the altar of the temple. Okay, then you had the Roman Empire that rose to power. And we all know in 70 AD, they destroyed the temple and took the Jews captive. So again, what's my point? My point is all of these kingdoms in history has impacted Israel directly, either negative or positive, predominantly negative. It is safe to say, and it's suffice to say, that the coming empire, and I would say this, the coming empires, plural tense, seventh empire, eighth empire, both of these empires, and by the way, the seventh empire, we're going to give you more details on that in just a moment, is this 2 feet and 10 toes. This is the seventh empire Bible prophecy that is coming to power. It's not here yet, but it's forming right under our noses. Oh, come on. I wish somebody would get as excited about this as I am. Okay? And then there's coming an eighth and final empire, which will be ruled by the Antichrist, the beast. Okay? So, I think it's being that all these kingdoms directly impacted Israel in one form or another, it is suffice to say that the coming seventh and eighth empires will do the same. In fact, I can prove it to you because if you go to Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Jesus warns about the coming persecution that will come. You go to Revelation 11, it gives you details about the coming third temple that will be constructed in Jerusalem. And it says the outer court will be measured off and left to the Gentiles who will tread it under their feet for 42 months. All right, now let's go. If you've got your Bible, go with me to the book of Daniel chapter 4, verses 10 through 16. For you guys that are watching the visual of this, you can keep up with me. For you guys that are watching or listening by Apple or by Spotify, we're in the book of Daniel. That's where we're going to be hanging out, Daniel and Revelation. We're in Daniel chapter 4, verses 10 through 16. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. Now we're talking about Daniel. Now Daniel's having visions, okay? Listen to what he says. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great, and the tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit was abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. Verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. Now, this is an angel. Okay, this is when it says watcher, holy one, this is an angel. He cried aloud and said thus. Now, what did this watcher, this angel say? He said, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, now this is extremely important, prophetically speaking, that you get this part right here. Nevertheless, and I'm going to highlight this, leave the stump and roots in the earth. So whatever this tree is that this watcher is cutting down, it leaves the stump and the roots in the earth. Now, come on, somebody talk to me. If you leave the stumps and the root, if you leave the roots in the earth, listen, I don't know a whole lot about trees, but I know grass. And I know one thing, if I'm pulling out weeds from my yard and I pull the top growth of the weeds out but leave the roots, then I've wasted my time, because I can come back a few days later, a week later, and lo and behold, because the root system remains in the earth, there's going to be something growing again. Are you listening to me today, church? So notice that whatever this tree is, oh, we're going to give you the definition of what this is. Whatever this tree is that is being cut down, the Lord instructs the stump and roots to remain in the earth. But watch this. Also, it is bound with a band of iron and bronze. It is bound with a band of iron and bronze. Guys, that is not just an accident that Daniel wrote that in his writings. This is a major prophetic clue that I'm going to show you later on in the future when we get in the tribulation. This final empire of Bible prophecy that will emerge in the earth is because, oh, come on, somebody, is because the root system is still in the earth to this day, and it is yet to spring forth, but it will spring forth in the time of the end. So let me read on. In the tender grass of the field, I'm still in verse 15, let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. Now that's in Hebrew, that's 7 years. Now I want to give you the biblical interpretation of what this tree, all of this right here. What is this mystery? What is the interpretation of this vision in which Daniel was given by the Lord? Here it is. Number one, the tree represented Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. He was the great empire of his day in Daniel's time that was spreading forth its leaves and its branches and covering the earth. His kingdom, however, would be cut down, and it would be a judgment that would be decreed by God himself, because Nebuchadnezzar had no longer been acknowledging the Lord. He was not worshiping God. He was in defiance of God. Nebuchadnezzar himself would suffer judgment, and he would be ousted from his own kingdom, and he would be stricken with a type of disease that would afflict him for 7 years. However, your Bible, we know from history that after 7 years had passed, Nebuchadnezzar repented. His kingdom was restored, only to later be cut down once again later on by the Medes and Persians, or that empire that would come after them. All right, now we have another dream given by Daniel. Here it is. We're in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed, and he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Here we go. Daniel spoke, saying, quote, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Now, this is all going to play into later on. That's why I'm going to be highlighting this stuff. Stirring up the great sea. And four beasts, somebody say four beasts, came up from the sea. Where do they come up out of, church? They come up from the sea. And by the way, the great sea is the Mediterranean Sea basin. This is where all this took place. Each one of these beasts were different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I watched till its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, and was likened unto a bear. It was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise and devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another likened unto a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Verse 7, after this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast. Now look at the description of this fourth beast. It was dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. All right. It had, hold on, let me highlight this again. I'm trying to get this highlight to step here. It had huge iron teeth, iron. Somebody say iron. Come on, I'm Southern. I want to put a lot more R on there. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. Daniel said it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had, now this is extremely important, it had 10 horns. Somebody say 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one. Somebody say a little horn. And this little horn was coming up among them, okay, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. Somebody say three horns were plucked up. All this is going to come into play. And there in this horn were the eyes likened of a man, and a mouth speaking great pompous words. Again, by the way, this is the Antichrist of the Bible. And again, notice it said the eyes of a man. This is why I don't believe it'll be artificial intelligence. This will be a flesh and blood ruler and individual that will rise in the last days. Now, who are these four empires? I believe the empire that was described as a lion was the Babylonian Empire. The bear represents the Media-Persian Empire. The leopard represents Greece. And the fourth beast that Daniel saw, and watch this, was present in John's day in 95 AD when he wrote the book of Revelation. We're going to get to that in just a minute, was the Roman Empire. Remember, guys, the fourth beast had iron teeth. It's not a coincidence that this verbiage and this language was being used by these prophets. They're trying to give you, listen, one of the laws of interpretation of Scripture is the law of first mention. When you see all these depictions of things in Scripture, a lamb, a lion, a dragon, a serpent, go back to the law of first mention in the Bible. You'll discover a lamb is Christ, a serpent, and a dragon, drakon in Greek is drakonai, where we get dragon. That is a serpent, a fiery red serpent, a fiery red dragon. That's Satan. Okay, all these depictions that we read about, we talk about, they describe things that the Bible's not going to contradict itself. All right, now let's go back in here into the Scripture. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, tells us that whoever this fourth kingdom, and when again, I believe it's, I've showed you it's Rome, that will rise up in the last days, and it will have 10 horns. We're going to explain what those 10 horns are in a minute. And out of the midst of these little horns, of these horns will come the little horn, which is the Antichrist. And the Bible says that the Antichrist plucks up three of the 10 horns. Now, when we go to Daniel chapter 11, Daniel gives us the revelation of who these three that are plucked up are, they're conquered. Ready? This is Daniel 11:43. He shall have power, again, it's talking about the Antichrist, over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. Let me say that one more time. The Antichrist will take control over Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Guys, even one of the early church fathers, Hippolytus, wrote in one of his letters about this very thing, and he even states, I'm going to read this. This again, this is from one of the early church fathers. He says, quote, "And amid these, another little horn shall arise, which is that of the Antichrist, and it shall pluck by the roots the three others before it. That is to say, he shall subvert the three kings of Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia with the view of acquiring for himself universal dominion." So again, Daniel 11:43 gives us the clue. Egypt, Libyans, and Ethiopians. The early church father Hippolytus agrees with this and says that it will be Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia that will be the three horns that are plucked up by the little horn that shall rise up in the midst of these. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, what are the horns? We're getting ready to get there. I want to point something out. By the way, all four of these empires that Daniel saw in Daniel 7, once again, were all involved with direct contact and conflicts with Israel and the Jews. All of them involved in Jerusalem and the temple, and they were Gentile empires that were ruled by Gentile leaders and all ruled from the area of ancient Babylon. Now, where was the area of ancient Babylon? Again, it was the area in the region of where Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria is today. According to what Daniel saw in his vision, the coming final empire will emerge out of the fourth empire among 10 kingdoms in the last days. Now, does this agree with scripture? Absolutely. We're going to show you. These 10 horns are 10 kings and kingdoms that will unite together in the last days and will eventually come under the leadership and the authority of the coming Antichrist. Let me say that one more time. The 10 horns that Daniel saw in Daniel 7 are 10 kingdoms that will be ruled by 10 kings that will emerge in the last days and will come under and submitted under the authority of the Antichrist. Now, let me bring all this home. Let's go to Revelation 13. So we showed you the revelations of Daniel, the prophet. Now let's go to 95 AD where John saw the future tribulation and he saw in mid-tribulation, the rise of the final kingdom of the beast. Here we go. Ready? Revelation 13. Then, this is John speaking, not Daniel. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. Notice, here we go again. John is getting ready to tell you that he's about to see something rise up out of the sea. Friends, it's the same sea that Daniel saw when he wrote, when he saw that vision in Daniel 7. Look what he says. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having, look what it says here. Let's highlight this. Seven heads and 10 horns. This is not contradicting what Daniel saw. Again, history explains this. When John wrote the book of Revelation, 95 AD, historically, here there had been seven empires. Ready? The Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Mede and Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and in John's day, when he wrote this, the Roman Empire. How many is that, church? That's six. And then he looks into the future and he says, I see a seventh empire, or he says seven heads. There's coming a seventh empire, which is made up of, according to Daniel, It will be partially iron and clay, and it is the 2 feet and the 10 toes. This is the seventh empire of Bible prophecy. Let's go back to Revelation 13. All right. So you have your seven heads. We've told you what that is. You have the 10 horns. We told you what that is. This is 10 kingdoms that will come to power. I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. And on these horns are 10 crowns, and on the heads are blasphemous names. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Now look, listen to the description he gives of the Antichrist. By the way, Revelation 13, this beast that's coming up out of the sea, it's the Antichrist. And John gives you his description. He's likened unto a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. Friends, what he just described to you is a combination of three empires that made up the Babylonian Empire. Now, why is that important? Because I'm going to pull all of what Daniel saw and put it with John, and we're going to put it together, and I'm going to show you that we are on the precipice of this seventh empire coming to rise and coming to power in our lifetime, and this is going to open the door for the emerging eighth and final empire Bible prophecy. And I'm trying to give you clues based on scripture, line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, to give you the identity of not only the Antichrist, and I should back up, not to say I'm going to give you the identity of who he is, but where he's going to emerge from. I want to clarify that for somebody who takes my words out of context. I don't believe anybody on the earth knows who the Antichrist is. I believe that is veiled. God allows that veil, that mystery to remain. Even Paul told the church at Thessalonica and 2 Thessalonians that there's a mystery of lawlessness in the earth until this son of perdition is revealed, and he will not be fully revealed until the restrainer is taken from the earth and again or taken out of the way. People get all bent out of shape. But again, I don't have time to go into the Greek words here. And I could really plow here if I wanted to, because I could take you to an original Greek language that there's a dual meaning, the word falling away, where Paul said, unless the falling away comes first, we traditionally interpret that as apostasia, or the apostasy happens first. But did you know that there's another translation of that word falling away, and it means to remove from one location to another, and it's a picture of the harpazo, or the rapture of the church. I believe that the restrainer, again, is the church, and when the church is removed, then the Antichrist will be fully revealed in his time. But that's not where I want to go with this today. I want to stick to this emerging seventh empire. So we got to get back here. Again, the beast is described by John, likened unto a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. Look what it says here. The dragon. Now, who is the dragon, church? Satan. The dragon gave the Antichrist his power, his throne, by the way, which will be in Jerusalem in the third temple for 42 months, and his great authority. So he will have power, he will have a seat of position, and he will have authority. And who will give it to him? Satan. Now look at this, verse 3. We're going to get into some meat of this teaching. I please in the chat, I know how people are in the chat. They start taking rabbit trails and start talking about stuff that ain't even related to what we're talking about. You need to really be paying attention here, because if you don't catch this, that's on you, not on me. All right, verse 3. I saw one of his heads, plural tense. This is very important. As if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. For you guys who are listening, the reason why I'm pausing here is because I'm highlighting this for the visual people that are watching this. One of his heads, one of what, how many heads? Seven. What are these seven heads? They're empires, right? You have to stay in context of the scripture. Now, entire Christian novels, movies, and teachings have been based on something that is completely not biblical, and that is that when the Antichrist rises to power, that he will take a mortal wound to the head, he will be shot, he'll be assassinated, and he will rise, and that Satan will empower him, and he'll be raised from the dead, and he will counterfeit the resurrection that Jesus, that God performed on Yeshua or Jesus and raised him up from the grave. Well, that sounds great, and trust me, it makes good novels, and it makes good movies, but it's not biblical. I know, take a deep breath. It's like a shot when you go and get your shot in your arm. I know it stings a little bit, but please, if you don't get mad at Brother Ricky, I'm going to prove it to you, because Scripture will not contradict Scripture. It will stay in context. John saw seven heads. I just told you there's seven empires, seven kingdoms that will rise in the last days. John says that one of the heads will be wounded mortally, and watch this, and all the world will marvel after the beast. Why? Because the mortal wound to one of the kingdoms will be wounded, but it will be healed, or it will be revived in the last days. Let me say that one more time. John saw one of the seven empires that was in times past that existed in Daniel's day, but did not exist in John's day, because Rome was the leading power of his day, not Babylon. He said, wait a minute, not Babylon. Yes, because I'm going to prove to you that the empire that will take the mortal wound, be destroyed, but will rise again in the last days, is the ancient area and kingdom called the Babylonian Empire. It's not a head on a man's shoulders for two reasons. One, it doesn't agree with Scripture. Number two, how many heads do you have, friends? Last time I looked in the mirror, unless you're a freak, you've only got one head on your shoulders. This is not talking about a flesh and blood head on a shoulder. It's talking about an empire that will be destroyed. It will be taken out, but it will rise again in the last days, and it will be controlled by the Antichrist, or the beast that John calls here in the book of Revelation. Come on, somebody. And notice here it says the people will worship the dragon who gave the authority of the beast to begin with. So they will worship the beast, saying, who is likened unto this beast? Who's able to make war with him? Why are they going to say such a thing, Brother Ricky? Because Daniel said that he will start out with a small army and he will become great. Remember, he goes forth conquering to conquer. Again, he uproots Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. He's taking the silver. He's taking the gold. He enters into the fattest places, the provinces. He enters into Saudi Arabia. He's taking the oil. He's taking the riches. He's taking power. He's taking prestige. He eventually, Revelation 13, he will take his throne and his seat of power in the temple that will be rebuilt, Revelation chapter 11, in the tribulation, and he will take control of the whole world. Watch this. We're not done yet. Let me go back here. Verse 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue how long? For 3.5 years or 42 months. Okay, 42 months. All right, now we're going to go to Revelation 17. Now look what John writes here. But the angel said to me, this is verse 7, Revelation 17, 7. But the angel said unto me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. Now, somebody say seven heads. This is different than what Daniel and John saw. And I'm going to show you that in just a second. But there is 10 horns here that are in agreement. Watch, the Bible will interpret itself here. So let me say this again. The angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw, look what he says here, was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now, this is really important that you catch this. So notice here, he's talking about the beast. Again, the Antichrist that will rise in the last days. The beast that you saw was, is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now remember, I told you scripture will interpret scripture here, okay? We go, now I'm going to jump down here to verse 9. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So this is not the seven empires that we talked about earlier. There are also seven kings. Uh-oh, now here we go. Now we're into the seven kings or empires. This is what we talked about earlier. But look at this. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short time. There's so much in this, guys. We're going to break it all down for you. Trust me. The beast that was, is not, and is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, is going into perdition. Okay, so remember, Revelation 17, 7 through 8. It says the same thing here. You got the 10 horns. It mentions the beast that which was, which is not, will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Then you have, you skip down into verse 9, and it says that there's going to be seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. But when it does come, it's going to last a short space. And then John goes back to the beast, and he repeats himself again and says the beast that was, past tense, is not, present tense, and himself is also the eighth, future tense. He is of the seven. In other words, he's going to emerge out of the seven empires, but will go into perdition. So let's break all this down, because I know some of you are like, I'm totally lost, Brother Ricky. I'm confused. That's why we're going to break it down. Okay, when John saw this beast that was past tense, is not present tense, and shall ascend future tense. Who is he talking about? Who is this kingdom? What kingdom? Because he mentioned seven kingdoms. Five have fallen. What kingdoms had fallen in John's day? The Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and that's five kingdoms that have fallen. Five have fallen, past tense. One is somebody talk to me. What empire was in power when John wrote the book of Revelation? It was Rome. So the five that had fallen, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, the Medes and Persians, and the Grecian Empire have all fallen. One is Rome, right? Are y'all following me? And one shall emerge. This is this seventh empire that has not, that was not around, was not in existence, and had not yet emerged yet. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to see if you've been paying attention. Now I'm going to go back to Daniel, because I'm going to pull out two major clues that's going to tell us where the Antichrist is going to rise out of. Ready? We got to go all the way back to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 15. Remember, let me pull this up. Daniel saw the Babylonian Empire cut down. Along with Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire was cut down to the earth. The stump and the roots remained in the earth. Let me say that again. The Babylonian Empire was cut down, but the stump and roots remained in the earth with the band of iron and bronze. Friends, this is the Babylonian Empire. And this is why John saw in his day, that one of these great kingdoms will take a mortal wound. He was looking all the way back to Daniel's day and saw a kingdom take a mortal wound called the kingdom of Babylon. It took a mortal wound, but God allowed the roots to remain in the earth. He banded it with the iron and the bronze. Because why? Because it will heal. It will rise again, and it will emerge from the earth again and up out of the sea, out of the Mediterranean basin area, will rise the Antichrist in his day. But watch this. Let's go back to Revelation 17, 9 through 11. There are also seven kings. We went over all of those, what they are. There are seven kings, right? The seventh king is the 2 feet and the 10 toes that are not here yet. We're in the making of this. They're coming to power. They're beginning to form. I'm going to give you my belief of what this will entail. The 2 feet and the 10 toes are. Notice here that John says there are seven kings. Five have fallen. I just told you what they are. One is, that's Rome. The other has not yet come. That's the seventh empire. But notice what it says here. When it comes, it will last a short time. I believe it's 42 months. 3.5 years. Because when the Antichrist takes power, he doesn't invade the temple until 42 months into the tribulation, Revelation 13, mid-trib. But before that, there is a seventh empire. Oh, come on. Are you following with me? That will rise to power and it will last for 42 months. But then he tells you the final empire. And by the way, look at Revelation 11. It says, he talks about the Antichrist, right? And notice how he describes the Antichrist, the beast that was, past tense, is not, present tense, and himself also the eighth. So again, John reveals that there's coming another kingdom after the seventh empire, which will be the eighth and final empire, which will be ruled and reigned by the Antichrist, who the spirit that will empower the Antichrist is a spirit that was, is not, and will rise again to power. Listen, friends, why do you think the Bible identifies the Antichrist with these terms that it gives? It calls the Antichrist the King of Babylon. It calls him the Prince who is to come. It calls him the Assyrian. These are three major clues to the location of where the Antichrist is going to emerge from. So here's where I want to close with this. You say, well, Brother Ricky, that's great, but my head's about to explode. This is an overload of knowledge. I don't know how to comprehend this. Listen, if you don't get anything, get this right here. I'm going to recap all this right here in 2 minutes, and we're going to close this podcast. And I please hit the like button, hit that share button, get this out. I'm telling you, this is exciting news. The sixth empire that existed in John's day is Rome. Rome eventually split east and west. Okay, that's the two legs. But then, listen to me clear. Where we are, and you say, well, Brother Ricky, that's great, that's dandy, that's history. I don't really like history, it bores me. Well, let me bring you to present tense. As of right now, 2023, the next major prophetic empire to emerge on the scene is the seventh empire of Bible prophecy that Daniel said will be a mixture of iron and clay, and is described as the 2 feet and the 10 toes. I believe this empire that will emerge will likely come out of the European Union, the United Nations, and it will be a continuation of the Roman Empire. And remember, out of this seventh empire, you will have these 10 kingdoms that will, these are the 10 horns that emerge out of this out of the seventh empire. But then something happens out of the 10 horns will emerge the little horn, which will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist will emerge out of these 10 kingdoms, and he will pluck out three of them, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. My friend, listen, 98% of all prophecy teachers teach the kingdom of the beast, the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the false prophet, the rise of all this, the mark of the beast, which, listen, I do too. We teach about this. We want to inform you this. We want to equip you this. But guys, we can't overlook that there is coming an emergence of this seventh empire of Bible prophecy. And watch this. In order for the Antichrist to come out of the power, the seventh empire has to come to power first. And I believe that that seventh empire will rule and reign for 3.5 years. And during that 3.5 years, there will come 10 kingdoms. Now, I don't know what this looks like. Will it be 5 from the east, 5 from the west? Will they be 5 that will be communist nations? Maybe there'll be Arab nations or 5 out of the west. I don't know. All I know is there'll be a mixture of iron and clay. We talked about what that could mean, the possible interpretations of that. But again, these 10 kingdoms will already be established in the earth and in place. Oh, that's a big one right there. I got to say that again. They will already be established and they'll already be in place. Can I prove it to you? Let me prove it to you. Revelation 17. Look what it says here. Again, this is Revelation 17, 12 through 14. The 10 horns, there it is, which you saw are 10 kings. All right? Who have received no kingdom as yet. So John saw prophetically into the future and saw these 10 kings, but yet they had no kingdom as of yet. But watch this, let's read on. But they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Whoa. In other words, John says that there will come a time. He said the 10 kings will be established, but they have no kingdom that they're submitted to as of yet. Or these 10 kings, rather. These 10 kings will have no kingdom as of yet, but eventually he sees out into the future that in 1 hour's time, these 10 kings will submit their authority to the beast. And look what it says here. These kings are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast, and these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. So did you catch that? So you can't have, listen, you can't have the Antichrist, and you can't have the eighth and final empire until you first have the seventh empire, and you have these 10 kings that will emerge out of the seventh empire that will eventually be already established, and then they will surrender their kingdoms over to the Antichrist, who will rise to power in the final 42 months of the tribulation. And remember, Daniel only saw 7, John saw 8 empires of Bible prophecy. And again, when we put this together, we have these clues of where the Antichrist is going to emerge from, where he's going to rise out of, what he's going to do, what his manifesto is, what his agenda is. And again, I want to tell you, based on his history of all the other kingdoms that have risen and fallen, they dealt treacherously with the nation of Israel, all except for the Medes and Persians. All these other empires dealt treacherously with the nation of Israel. And I can tell you that based on the writings of John in the book of Revelation, when the Antichrist rises to power, he will make war with the saints. You go look it up. That Greek word for saints there is not the church. It's the nation of Israel. And just like every other kingdom dealt treacherously with the nation of Israel, try to destroy the temple, try to take them captive, the Antichrist will emerge with the same spirit on him that possessed Nebuchadnezzar, that possessed, in my opinion, Antiochus Epiphanes, that possessed Hitler, that possessed Stalin, possessed Mao. This is an Antichrist spirit, but there's coming the Antichrist, and when he arises to power, he will finally be able to do what he's always wanted to do, and that's to take worship, that's to receive worship, that's to rise to power, to take a seat of authority in Jerusalem, in the temple, and God will grant that to him for 42 months, and then he will break the treaty that he will establish with the nation of Israel, that he will firm with the nation of Israel. And then the Bible says that 10 kings will give their power over to him. And excuse me, but all hell breaks loose on the earth, because you've got the kings of the east that march over the Euphrates River. They're trying to make war with him. But the Bible says, who can make war with the beast? What I'm trying to tell you, friends, is everything is in the making. Prophecy is accelerating. We're thrusting forward. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. So listen, what we need to do as a church, one of the things that we need to pay attention to, well, of course, we need to be focused on Jesus. That's the main objective above all that. Whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no rapture, you don't believe in this, our main focus is occupy till he comes, okay? I just wanted to say that to make peace with all my brothers and sisters that maybe are mid-trib or post-trib or they don't believe in the rapture. Come on, we can all agree with this, right, brothers and sisters? We can agree that we need to be focused on Jesus. We need to be going into the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few, and we need to be swinging that sickle, reaping, bringing in souls to the kingdom, and occupying till he comes. I believe I can get an amen from even my post-tribbers, my mid-tribbers, and my no-rapture folks. Come on. I'm trying to pull us together and tell you, here's what whatever side of the tracks you're on, this is the bottom line. What the next step in Bible prophecy is, we need to be observant and be watching for the formation of this seventh empire Bible prophecy that Daniel described, that Nebuchadnezzar saw as 2 feet and 10 toes, that are going to emerge likely out of the United Nations, the European Union. And this is where we are in the next steps of Bible prophecy. So this is exciting. So listen, when you see the EU coming together, the United Nations coming together, and they're making a coalition and a pack, and they've got this agenda, I know it stinks for us because of all these legislations and the global control of the elites and all this. But come on, those who know their Bible better get excited with me, and I'm going to show you why. Because I want to remind you that Daniel, when he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar saw in the dream of the cessation of empires, starting with his and going all the way down to the seven empires that he saw. Listen what it says here. It says in verse 34 that you watched, O king, you watched while a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Friends, I want to tell you who the stone that was cut out without hands, that struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. I'm telling you, I'm talking about this stone will crush all these kingdoms together. You want to know who that stone is? It's none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jude said it like this. He said, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convict all who are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And then Paul says over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that when the Antichrist comes to power after the restrainer is taken out of the way, Paul says that the lawless one will be revealed. Yes, he's coming. The Antichrist is coming to power. But it says, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Come on, this is not a time to be anxious. It's not a time to fret. It's not a time to worry. It's time to get excited because everything is not falling apart, friend. It's falling in place. Everything. Let me say that again. Everything is not falling apart. Everything is falling in place. All of prophecy is thrusting and moving forward, and it's accelerating like never before. And it's time to rejoice. It's time to get the word out, and it's time to get excited because we're about to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website right there above my head. If you're watching, listening, visually, there's our main website right above me. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, that's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Of course, download our free app. That's how you keep up with our ministry. Again, it's available free on Apple and Android devices. Download it today. Hit yes to push notification. That's how you're going to keep up with our ministry. And we pray that our ministry is a continual source of information, revelation, equipping, and blessing to you and your family. Listen, if you would like to know more information about partnering with us, or you're praying about becoming a partner with us, I pray that you do pray about becoming a partner with us. And there's many ways you can give. You can give electronically right here on your screen. You can give through the app. That's the easiest way down to the bottom where it says donate, or you can go to the main website. Once you're there, you can give electronically through PayPal, through credit card, through Venmo, through Cash App, however you wish to give and partner with us. One-time give, a monthly partnership, whatever the case would be. Again, whatever your relationship is with our ministry. And of course, you can give by check or money order as well, and you can make it out to right there on the bottom of your screen. If you're watching, it's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, we want to thank you guys for coming on and being a part of this teaching, equipping segment on this podcast tonight. Again, it's the 26th. It's Tuesday night. We're going to sign off for tonight. We will be off tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, the 27th. And then we'll be right back here, Lord willing, on the 28th and the 29th. Same time, same channel, same place, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great podcast. So until then, may the Lord bless, keep, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.